Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. A corrupt Los Angeles in 1939, murder, gangland intrigue, illegal gambling, a pair of serial killers, grieving families, reformer politicians, all that and more in the fast-paced crime novel Truth Won't Help Them Now from Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos. Joan holds a Master of Arts and a PhD from Claremont, worked in public education for over 40 years, now retired but quite busy, continuing her work translating for international doctors. Joan also sings in a bluegrass band and writes evaluations for accrediting high schools, resides with her husband in the Sierras. Stephen earned a Bachelor of Arts in Social Sciences and Religious Studies from UC Santa Barbara, a Juris Doctor from the University of Laverne, practiced law for 12 years, has taught classes for adults since 1998, living in Southern California. Joan Hunter, Stephen Kobos, authors of The Truth Won't Help Them Now, they're our guests on This Week in America. Stephen, Joan, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I loved our introduction.
Well, and I love the book. This is going to be fun talking about it. It is so visual. I love those old movies, the noir film version, and I'm reading this, and this is coming alive in my imagination as I'm reading this. Where did the concept, you take us back to 1939 in Los Angeles, where did this whole concept come from for the book?
Well, we were sitting around the Christmas table when Christmas ago, several Christmases. And they said, well, how come you never talk about your dad? And I said, well, you know, my dad was a croupier on the gambling ship Rex when I was born. And they said, the Rex, we've heard of that, and so forth. And so we started doing just questions about what was going on in 1939. And Stephen started discovering that it was Tony Cornaro Scala, and he found him in the law books. Then what happened, Steve?
Well, part of it, too, was that you had already written some things from your childhood about written in the first person. And so there were some stories to work off of, especially about family members. But once we started looking at the history, it was there was so much history going on at that time, a lot of reform movements because of the amount of corruption in L.A. And it was just funny that your dad was on the gambling ship that was part of a major crackdown that Earl Warren did.
Yeah, and that's sort of a focal point as the book starts with the ship, the Rex. So there actually was a Rex. And let's go back to June. I think it was June 3rd, 1939. Tell us about the beginning of the story, and then we'll take off on all the different twists and turns. And this is a story, if you think, okay, this is one plot I'm going to follow, you're mistaken, because you've got a lot of action going on, a lot of great action going on in the book. Talk about what happens on that day that starts off this whole adventure.
When the body is washed up?
Yes.
I realized from looking at some of your suggested questions, I realized I like stories that start off fast. And so I wanted to start off with the body being discovered and the jumping right into the investigation. The weirdness about it was that I wanted the body to be discovered. It just took us a while to figure out how it would be discovered. And that involved some research about when do bodies float and when do they stay below and whatever. But the body is picked up in a hoop net, is brought up to the surface, and Santa Monica detectives are called in. So we have Lou and Randy as the detectives, and they start their search for whoever killed the guy under the pier.
You know, so often, it's interesting you mentioned that you wanted to start quickly. So often you'll read a book and you're page 50 and you're thinking, are these guys ever going to do anything? Well, there's no action here so far. It's setting the table. Okay, I've got the picture. Let's have a little bit of action. You have action right off the bat. Joan, talk a little bit about from a research standpoint, because you were so descriptive in everything you talk about through the book. What was it like going back and doing the research? I mean, you literally take us back to 1939 in Los Angeles.
Well, of course, I was a child, but I did a lot of research. The thing about the, we talked about the pier, because we used to fish off the pier, and so we knew about the lights being covered with fog and that kind of stuff. So that was interesting. And then we did some research on where do the red cars travel along in Southern California, that they go all the way to Los Angeles, actually all the way to Huntington Park at the time. So we did a lot of research, and you know, there were no freeways, so we had maps of Los Angeles, and we pretended we were driving along you know, Pacific Coast Highway, and how far would it be to Malibu and so forth, and how long would it take for the body, if it was dropped in Malibu, to get to the Santa Monica Pier. We did all that research, so that was all correct.
Yeah, as you're reading it, there's such truthfulness to it. I mean, you set the stage for it, and it's like, okay, this really makes sense. And Stephen, we're talking about the body that washes up on shore at the pier. That's only one of many, many things you've got going on in the book. There's also the serial killer that I mentioned. Talk about that's going on at the same time in the story.
I wanted to have a bad guy, a really bad guy, as the villain, and so I thought of a serial killer and someone who was sadistic, let's put it that way, and I at one point I thought, oh, I'm going way overboard, and then I started doing a little research on serial killers and realized this guy is a 7 on a 10 scale. they get worse than him.
Yeah, they get worse. Although I like, Stephen wrote a description of the serial killer, how they, what kind of things he did that were so scary, even when he read that part. And I read it, it was scary to me, and I knew he read it. One of the things we had is a lot of action, because there were a lot of unusual cars going along there. And so we had to have one of our girls be beautiful and driving a fast, wonderful car. So I did research on fast, wonderful cars, and I looked all through pictures, and finally I found this Bugatti. And I said, a Bugatti, that's what I'm going to use. But I thought, I wonder if anybody will know anything about it. So I called Stephen's son, my grandson, and I said, Jeffy, do you know what a Bugatti is? And he said, Bugatti, that's the fastest car in the world. And so that's the one we use.
Yeah, it even sounds fast. If you've never heard of a Bugatti, you're thinking, okay, they've got something. There's some speed they've got there. The guest on the program, by the way, Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos, they're the authors of the book, The Truth Won't Help Them Now. The book's available at Amazon. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on directly. Also, their website, Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos Books.com. Again, you can link on. That's a lot to remember. You can link on directly by going to our website. And you've got all of this going on. You've got the body. You've got the serial killers. You've also got gangsters, and they're sort of competing for a piece of the action, Steve. Talk about how that all sets up, because you've got this is what the gangsters did back in 1939, sort of the ins and outs of their lifestyle.
It was more, L.A. was famous for being a little more of an open city. They didn't have as much organized crime, there was crime, but it wasn't organized the way that it was in New York City. And that was one of the reasons that Bugsy Siegel came out here, was to get things organized. So there was a Costa Nostra family headed by Dragna. But there were also a lot of freelancers, and so there were a lot of competition and a lot of people getting shot at or being forced out of the business. But there was Cornero, who was running the gambling ships, was a real character. Bugsy Siegel, of course, was a real character. Dragna was a real character, but we invented Lenny Green. just as another gangster, and that and he plays a major role in the whole, and his family play a major role in the book.
The book is The Truth Won't Help Them Now. This is just an excellent read. It's a fast read. So much going on. You start reading it, you're not going to want to put it down. I guarantee you, because you know in the next page, it's going to be even more exciting than the page you're reading. In addition, with the serial killers, you got L.A. County Deputy D.A. Cliff Thomas, and he's got the help, I mentioned in the open, of a psychic. Talk about that, because he's really skeptic, but he's got a psychic trying to help him out during during this period as well.
Actually, I had a grandmother whose name was Zoe Wolfolk, and she was a psychic. And so she used to do shows. She would be a guest at parties, big parties and so forth, and she would set up astrological charts and give advice. But she was very good. She was excellent, and she knew the people around who were psychics. She knew Amy Simple McPherson, and she knew other people who were prominent psychics at the time. And she should we talk about the light side of psychic light eventually?
So Zoe was kind of the astrologer to the stars. So she had a lot of well, later at any rate, and probably in the 50s, she had clients who were movie stars or in with the movie business. And her personal attorney was Cliff Toms, and he was at one time a deputy DA. And so those people are real characters. We gave them, we fudged on the facts for dramatic purposes for Cliff and Zoe both, but they were real people, and which of course helps when you're writing them. You can try to stay with what Zoe was like. Cliff, I knew only slightly, but one of the things that my mother told me when years ago was that, oh yeah, Cliff, yeah, he had people beaten up. And I thought, oh, great, this is so wonderful. So I had to work that into the book.
I get the impression this was as much fun for you to write as it is for us to read. What was this experience like for you? I have the impression that this was just something, probably when it was time to stop writing for the day, you couldn't do that. Your mind was still active in trying to advance the story.
You know, what happens is when you get your head into it, it becomes more real for you.
Yes.
And, but it takes a lot of concentration to stay in that spot. But we would share. Would have our own assignments, writing assignments, and I would say, okay, I want you to, can you write this scene, and I'll write this scene, and then we'll share the scenes, and
edit each other's work, and we're close enough. I mean, in our writing styles, that we could edit each other's work, and no one said, oh yeah, you changed my word. We said, oh good, you fixed it better. And so that's what's good about this kind of writing. Some of the scenes that some of the ideas we had, we wanted them to be mysterious, and Stephen always said, don't tell them what's going on. You're not mysterious enough. It's just a secret.
The book is The Truth Won't Help Them Now. It's available wherever books are sold. You'll find it on Amazon. You'll also find it at their website, Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos, KOBOSbooks.com. Link on to both those sites by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's really a fascinating story. And I keep mentioning, we haven't talked about, you've got dirty cops, you've got DAs on the take, you've got grieving families, all of this. How difficult was it? How challenging was it to have all these different elements at play, you've got a lot of moving parts in this story.
Part of what I was trying to do was to get away from the way that the mysteries are done on TV and show that there are real people involved, and one person does this and one another person that does that, that there are real families who are out there grieving. So that was a deliberate decision on my part. Part of the problem, though, if you do it that way, and I realize now that I had probably too many characters, because it's, you know, you needed the list at the front of the book to help you keep track of it.
Well, and that's good, because as you're reading the book and you're thinking, okay, now exactly how does he fit into that? You've got that at the front of the book, so you can go and you can look at that and figure out where he fits into the storyline. It's a great ending to the book as well. Don't want to give away too much, but did you have the ending in mind before you started? Did you have a pretty strict outline, or did this sort of evolve as you were telling the story? Okay, I think you've answered that.
it evolved. My son was saying, "Well, how's your outline coming?" I said, "Outline? We don't need your outline."
Yeah, they're so restrictive.
It evolved, but at the very end, where the threads come together, we had to plot carefully because there were a lot of threads to pull together and to make it come out right. Everything comes together at the right time. So there we did do a lot of plotting. But for the most part, we were, once we had a general idea of where we wanted to go. Sometimes the story takes on a life of its own, and that's sort of what happened.
Yeah, when we had, there's a scene where at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, and so I had to look up information about the Hollywood, that was my part, to look up about the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. And then they said, how is the killer going to escape from there? And so I had him escape on a bicycle. Steve said, on a bicycle. I said, yes, he's going to be dressed as a delivery, as this delivery boy. And then we had, you know, we had to get him then into a truck to get him to Venice.
Yes.
I think we ended up with a motorcycle, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, did I put it in a motorcycle? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a good one, because the motorcycle allowed him to get through traffic, and so he could leave his pursuer behind.
That, yes, wouldn't have to follow the normal traffic laws. So you start with the Bugatti, something really fast, and he escapes on a Schwinn. So you've got all the bases covered with that. That's what I love about the book. It's The Truth Won't Help Them Now. Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos, the authors. Couple minutes left in the program. This is such a fulfilling book. 5-star reviews. Love the ending, love everything getting there, except that it ends. We could have gone on for a few more chapters. The book was so good. What are you working on something now? Have you sat around the table another holiday and come up with some more ideas?
We're working on another book right now, and it's called Only the Truth That Matters.
The Only Truth That Matters.
Oh, The Only Truth That Matters.
Which we may not stay with, but it ties into the first book, yes.
That, yeah, a working title, so that will do that.
And it takes place in 1944, and it's actually in May 1944, just before the invasion of Europe. And our characters, some of our characters are the same, and it starts out about the rationing and how rationing slipped into the black market. And I believe our first murder is the guy who stole the silk that was supposed to be for parachutes.
Oh, okay.
Not quite, but okay, close enough.
That I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully when that's done, we'll get you, I have you back in the program and talk about that. The book is an excellent read. As I say, all 5-star reviews, The Truth Won't Help Them Now by Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos, and Stephen's last name is C-O-B-O-S. Their website is Joan Hunter and Stephen Kobos Books.com. Books available, of course, at Amazon. If you can't remember all of that, just go to thisweekinamerica.us, and a link on there that will take you directly to the website to get the information. This really has been fun. I really enjoyed the book, having the opportunity to talk about it. It was a great trip back to Los Angeles in 1939. Looking forward to the new book. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Oh, we loved it. Thank you very much for our wonderful interview. It's so good. Did you know that Stephen is my son?
Yes, I did know that. And as you say in the little tease that you've got, a little trailer that's on the website, if you like mystery, if you like history, you'll love this book. That really says it all. And I can tell between the two of you in writing, you sort of finish each other's sentences, and that's good. That just, it's an excellent book. The truth won't help them now. Joan Hunter, Stephen Kobos, our guest on This Week in America. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
Thank you.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.